teaching. Book of Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, just looking at one verse in this chapter, verse 16. I haven't even started preaching yet. They're already crying. I haven't even gotten to the good part. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Just one verse. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Let's pray this morning. Lord, help us as we look at your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would fill me, enable me as your vessel. I pray you also fill the hearts of your people as hearers today, that we would hear and apply what we learn. Father, we ask that you would bring conviction where needed, bring encouragement where needed, and most importantly, would you be honored and glorified? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, when you get to be about my age in adulthood, which isn't that old, but when you get to be about my age, you start to look at life differently than when you were growing up. And what I mean by that, if I can be candid a little bit, is that when you grow up as a teenager, the tendency is to think, well, mom and dad and older folks just don't get it. They don't understand life. They don't know what they're talking about, if I can be honest and candid a little bit. And I'm sure every teenager kind of knows what I'm talking about. And then you get a little bit older. You end up college age as a young adult. And you start to think mom and dad really don't know what they're talking about. They're clueless. But then as you go further into adulthood, constantly more and more, my wife and I, we joke around. We find that, you know what, they were right. We see the principles that they were teaching, that they were right. The people they were warning us about, they were right. Can I tell you, there's some people that I was warned about. I see where their life is today, and it's like, wow, thank the Lord that he protected me from that. And so in this day and age we're living in, where we're constantly seeking after the new, this morning I want us to consider the old. Thus saith the Lord, ask for the old paths. That's the title of my message this morning. Ask for the old paths. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And by the way, he's a great example of why I believe abortion is murder. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, the Bible says that God called and separated Jeremiah for ministry while he was still in his mother's womb. You know, my wife and I are expecting our first child. That's exciting. And we're praying, Lord, would you set him apart or her apart for your service even now? And so I don't buy into this, well, it's just a fetus, it's just nothing. No, that's a person, because God called and prepared Jeremiah's ministry before he was actually even born. And Jeremiah was called by God to predict the coming slavery that was coming to the kingdom of Judah, to predict God's judgment upon them. And his message went against the popular message of his day of peace, peace. If you look at verse 13, it says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness." Talking about the preachers of that day. "From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." So Jeremiah's message was countercultural. He was going against the popular messages of his day. The fact is that our society loves the new. We love new technology. We love new things. We love new trends. We love new philosophies. Many people pride themselves on being progressive and willing to embrace any new idea, any new thing. A lot of people pride themselves on that. However, I believe as Christians, we would be wise to heed the advice of Jeremiah and to ask for the old. Ask for the old paths. Consider what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. So it has been said by some that you can't put an old head on young shoulders. And some might say that of me, I'm sure. But all of us in this room can ask, seek, and learn from those who have gone on before us. And that's what Jeremiah is getting at. Asking for the old paths. I want to say this. This does not mean that we are opposed to new things. Just because something is new doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about changing our Bible convictions, our principles that we've always had. Today, modern culture says we need new convictions, new standards, new message. That's what I'm preaching against today. Maybe you've been in this situation. I know I have. If you're in a new campus or a new, maybe at work or at school, you're in a new location, you're trying to find where you're supposed to go. Maybe you have a meeting, you have to meet in a certain room, you have no idea where to go. Listen, you're not going to look for the new guy just like you, ask him, where are we supposed to go? You're not going to ask the freshman that has no clue what he's doing. You're going to look for the senior. You're going to look for someone that's been there a while, say, hey, you know what you're doing. You know the layout here. Show me around. That's the idea. Yes, there's a place for new things, but we need to treasure the counsel of the old. Treasure the wise counsel of experience. And that's what Jeremiah is getting at. When he says the phrase, the old path, he's referring to the old paths of faith, which the fathers of Israel walked for 1,300 years to this point. He's talking about the path of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's talking about the paths of Moses and Joshua and Samuel, the paths of David and King Solomon and so on and so forth. He's saying, ask for those paths. And this morning, I want us to consider our landscape in Christianity today. Number one, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Number one, stand and see. God wants us to stop and examine. Stop and think. God wants us to consider the landscape in which we're living in. Consider the landscape of the society that we live in. In the book of Isaiah, God rebuked Israel. He said, my people doth not consider. You know, a lot of Christians kind of go through life bopping along. Whatever new trend, whatever the world gives them, that's what they do. Whatever the world says do, they do. Whatever the world says buy, they buy. Wherever the world says go, they go. They never stop to examine and think and consider. The Bible gives us two examples of men that did not stop and consider. The Bible tells us about Esau, who sold his birthright for basically a bowl of soup. He didn't stop and consider the weight of what he had just done. He didn't consider the past or the future. The Bible tells us of Lot, who chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought his family and all his belongings to Sodom and Gomorrah because he didn't stop and consider what his destination would lead him to. See, stopping and considering means you're recognizing there's an end. There's a destination that my choices will lead me to. The choices we make today will determine our tomorrow. And thus, we have to be very careful, very diligent that we're doing things God's way, that we're doing things the Bible way. Consider the landscape of contemporary Christianity. We know the world is bad. I hope you realize the world is bad. The Bible says Satan is the god of this world. That means he's in charge of the whole world system and philosophy. But consider contemporary Christianity. Some people use the term evangelicals. And to be honest with you, that term has been sullied. It's been perverted because many evangelicals, I believe, aren't even saved today. But consider the landscape of Christianity today. Be a student of Christian history and you'll read about, you'll see how oftentimes great godly institutions will be corrupted, defiled. Doesn't happen overnight, but gradually, here a little, there a little. Churches that once stood firm on the gospel now waffling. Well, maybe Jesus isn't the only way to heaven because they want to appease people. Well, maybe the Bible isn't the inerrant word of God. Maybe it has a few mistakes in it. That's where we are in Christianity in America today. And as we observe the landscape of Christian history, we need to also consider what Jeremiah was preaching about in his day, the paganism of Israel. I want you to realize this. When Israel became an idolatrous nation, it did not mean they became a nation of atheists. What I mean by that is Israel had been adopting the pagan worship practices of its day. Please note, they never renounced their faith in God. They never completely renounced God's existence. Instead, their sin was mixing in the pagan customs of their day with their faith. That is what Israel's sin was. And Jeremiah called that, and God called that, idolatry. And if you study the book of Jeremiah, he used many metaphors comparing Israel's idolatry to adultery. He used many metaphors comparing it to prostitution, promiscuity, unfaithfulness. And the application for us as Christians today is that today many are committing spiritual adultery with their faith, mixing in the paganism of our day into our faith. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says this: "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and unto every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and saw her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Verse 8, And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass, through the lightness of the whoredom, that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah." We see these sharp words that Jeremiah uses. God, he's preaching God's message, and he calls it adultery. They're playing the harlot. And James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" But the church has forgotten such words. The church thinks that friendship with the world is a good thing. Friendship with the world is what's needed. And God says it's wicked. It's enmity with God. When we align ourselves with the world, we're aligning ourselves against God. And the people in Jeremiah's day thought we can just kind of mix in and it'll be okay. And notice God completely rejected them. He didn't say, "Well, I like some of what you do, Israel." He didn't say that. He completely rejected them. So for us as Christians today, we cannot compromise. We cannot change our message. We cannot change our Bible convictions. We need to stop and consider. In a day and age that people are thirsting, crying out for the new, stop and consider, what is this new faith? What is this new evangelicalism? What is this new Christianity? Stop and examine it. The best way to weed out the truth is to, the best way to weed out truth from error is to study the truth. You know, I spent some time as a bank teller. And they train bank tellers to, you better watch out for, can you guess? Fake money, counterfeit bills. You got to watch out for counterfeit bills. And, you know, as a part of the training, they didn't bring out every single counterfeit bill there is because, you know, there's so many. You can't study the counterfeits. No, you study the real thing. You know what it feels like to the touch. It has a certain feel. You know what it looks like. You put it to the light. There's different things you can do. You know exactly what it should look like. And if you know what the real thing looks like, you won't fall for the fake thing. And for us as Christians, the application is if we know the real thing, we're not going to fall for the fake thing. Hey, we need to know the truth. And it's right here for us in our Bibles. Christian, do you read your Bible? I'm not asking, did your words touch? Did your eyes look at the words on the page? Do you read, study, and learn the Bible? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice that it's important. You got to study. It takes work. And you have to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to examine. We need to stop and see the landscape of our faith, the landscape of society. We need to consider the idea that Jeremiah is preaching here in Jeremiah 6. The idea is of a traveler that's trying to find the right way, trying to find the right way to get to his destination. And in doing so, this traveler may every now and then stop and ask, stop and inquire for the right directions. How many of you guys have ever been lost before? How many of us are going to be honest in church this morning? You've been lost. Not spiritually, but I'm talking about, well, we've all been lost spiritually, but we've all been lost traveling. And every now and then, if you swallow your pride, you pull over to the gas station. Where am I? How do I get to here? How do I get to the Throgs Neck Bridge from here? How do I get out of here? And we have to stop and ask. And you know, we need to take even more care for our own souls that we stop and ask. My next point, Jeremiah says, not only to stop and see, but to ask. In Jeremiah 6, verse 6, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask seasoned saints, Christians that are mature in the faith. Ask from the Word of God. You can study and inquire from the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit of God. Ask for the old path. As I mentioned, man is continually chasing after something new, which inevitably leads them away from God, because God is of old, the Bible says, from everlasting. And so in this day and age we're living in, we need to stop and inquire. Job 8:8 says, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. You know, the way of repentance is as old as John the Baptist. Yea, as old as David. The way of faith is as old as Abraham. The way of communion with God is as old as Enoch. The way of approaching God by the lamb slain is as old as Abel. Yea, the true lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That's a quote from C.H. Spurgeon. And the oldest path there is takes us right back to the Bible. We have to realize this. The Bible is a very old book. And so we have to realize we need to go back to the old paths, because it brings us right to the Bible. That's the right way that we need to follow after. False prophets of Jeremiah's day taught a new message. Peace, peace, instead of God's warning of judgment. Does that sound familiar this morning? Because the same thing's been happening. The new path, there is a new path in our generation. The new path lightens up on holiness. The new path lightens up on commitment to Christ. The new path says we need to modernize Christianity. We need a 21st century Christianity. And I submit to you, no, we need to return back to first century Christianity. You go back to your Bible, you go back to church history, those early Christians, they met every single day. Every day they assembled together for worship, for preaching. Why? They understood something about the regular teaching of God's Word. They desperately needed that. They desperately desired that. And you know what? The early Christians faced death. The Roman Empire did not become friendly to Christianity at first. They faced even death. Yet they met every day. They prayed, they got saved, they got baptized, they followed the Lord. They were committed to Christ. In our church this morning, I can tell you we have some old school Christians in our church. We have some Christians that they believe whenever the church doors are open, they ought to be there. You know, some of them, their health may be failing them, but they have that testimony that they are faithful to God's house. They understand the importance of church attendance. What about the new Christians? What about the younger ones coming up? We've lost that commitment to God's house. It's kind of quiet in here this morning. You know, this is my first Sunday. Maybe it'll be my last Sunday. I don't know. I'm going to keep preaching. Hey, the Bible says something about that. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The new pastor says, oh, Brother Carl, just an hour on Sunday is okay with me. That's enough Bible teaching. That's enough Bible teaching for my kids, for me. That's all I need. Maybe that is all you need. It's not all I need, I'll tell you that. I need much, much, much more than that. Ask for the old path. It's old school, preacher, to expect people to come on time for Sunday school. It's old school, preacher, to expect people to come back on a Sunday night during the summertime. It's vacation time. It's old school to believe people ought to be in God's house on a Wednesday night for prayer meeting and Bible study. It's old school for corporate prayer. And we've shifted our path because we've let the world change our thinking. Instead of being in God's house, we're too consumed with being at the workman's house. We're building up someone else's kingdom instead of God's kingdom. Hey, listen, I know their need. I know the importance of hard work, but let's not miss the main thing. There's an old path that God wants us to stay to, but we have to be committed Christians. Christians, the believers in Jeremiah, they were not committed. That's why any false thing came up, they shifted over to it. And I think in my life, the people that have influenced me were old school. Our pastor, Pastor Barker, was old school. Amen. I had influences in my life that were old school. And guess what? I'm old school. I don't care what the world labels me. I'm old school. I think of my dear grandfather who's in heaven right now. The greatest Christian I ever knew. He was old school. He believed in prayer every morning, every day at 12, and every evening. A man of prayer. I've never seen someone pray more than my grandpa because he was old school. And you know what? By God's grace, I'm going to be the same way. Stick to the old path, Jeremiah says. Well, I remember being out, and I'm sure you guys have heard this label before. I remember knocking on someone's door and, oh, I know your church. I've been there before. I said, oh, great. Why don't you come back? He said, well, your church is a little bit old-fashioned. He kind of said it like he didn't want to offend me. And I just kind of smiled. I said, we know. That's on purpose. You see, if it's old-fashioned to believe in holiness and separation from the world, then call me old-fashioned. If it's old-fashioned to believe that the Bible is our authority for faith and practice, then call me old-fashioned. If it's old-fashioned to think that our music, our lifestyle, our customs ought not be tainted by the world, then call me old-fashioned. You see, old-fashioned has become almost a bad word today because people are striving to be trendy and hip and in step with the world, instead of being in step with God's word. We want to keep in step with the worldly trends, in step with the worldly fashions, instead of, Lord, what does your word tell me to do? Let's keep in step with His Word. Churches today have stopped preaching against pop culture and instead have begun affirming pop culture and even bringing it into the church. Churches today pride themselves on meeting in nightclubs and bars. They pride themselves on that because they want to be just like the worldly crowd to draw them in. That's the worldly philosophy. Churches today recognize they need to lighten up on strong Bible preaching if they're going to get a large crowd. And so you have preachers like Carl Lentz of Hillsong Church, interviewed by Katie Couric, and was asked point blank, what's your stance on homosexuality? What's your stance on that? And instead of quoting scripture, instead of saying what Jesus said, that in the beginning God made them male and female, that marriage is between one man and one woman. Instead of doing that, he said, we have conversations at our church. You know what conversations mean? We can have a dialogue about it. We don't know who's right. I might be right. You might be right. And instead of taking a stand on Bible convictions, Christianity today is taking a step back. That's the new path. You know, it's no surprise that eventually they found out they had a homosexual choir director in their church. And you can look that up. And it's no surprise when they don't take a stance on sin, sin creeps into the church. You have preachers and ministers today in churches that they continue worshiping the pop idols of our generation. Christians should not worship the pop idols of today. Christians should not be worshiping at the shrine of Jay-Z and Beyonce. These are not idols for us today. Christians and churches should not be affirming this culture. We should be preaching against this culture. The rapper Jay-Z calls himself Jehovah. That's blasphemy. That's an abomination. Beyonce is selling her body for money. You want your daughter to follow Beyonce? I don't. Listen, church, we need to get rid of pop culture in our life and out of our church. Keep it out of our church. But churches say, let's bring it in a little bit. Let's bring in the Hollywood movies and bring in the worldly music of today, because that's what people like. That's what people want. Listen, pop culture is anti-Bible. Pop culture is materialistic. It's rebelliousness. Pop culture says you can live your life and be happy without God. That's a deception from the enemy. And we reject that in our church. Christians today need to stop and examine and also ask for the old path, because the new way, the new path, is leading down a road of destruction. Perhaps you've heard this story. On a cold winter day in Michigan, a woman was in labor and was being rushed to the hospital when the unthinkable happened. The ambulance she was in was sliding on an icy road and eventually slid off the road into a ditch. And a passing four-wheel drive truck stopped and tried to haul her out of the ditch to bring her to the hospital. And that four-wheel drive truck was spinning its wheels and it couldn't get a grip on the ice. Well, a man happened to be coming by with a two-horse carriage, and he said, "My horses have their horseshoes specifically sharpened for the ice. I can help pull you out." And so he tied his carriage to that ambulance, and those two horses pulled and pulled, and they pulled the ambulance out. Talk about horsepower, amen? And on that cold winter day, the source of strength was old-fashioned, outmoded, but on that day, old ways helped to ensure the arrival of new life. And again, I'm not saying everything new is wicked and evil, but I am saying that we need to be careful. We need to stick to the old convictions of God's word. Ask for the old path. But it's not just asking for the old path. Jeremiah said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? You see, it's not just antiquity that makes something good. The broad path that leads to destruction is just as old as the narrow path that leads to life. And so the idea is not just anything that's old is good, but seek the old paths and the good way. Seek the paths that are good, that have been tried and tested. Seek the good way of true Christianity. Why Christianity, some may ask? Well, Jeremiah gives a reference that our Lord also references in Matthew. He says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You see, the old path, the good way, brings us right to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. He's the old path. He's the good way. He's who we're seeking to please and glorify. Not me, not each other, the Lord Jesus. He's the old path. He's the good way. And the Bible says, if we want to find rest for our souls, we only find it in Jesus Christ. This is the oldest way there is since the fall of man. Before the foundation of the earth was made, God made a way of rest for mankind. Old Testament saints look forward to the cross. We as people today look back to the cross. My question for you this morning, if you're not saved, are you looking for rest for your soul? You can only find it in Jesus Christ. You can't find it in our church. You can't find it by doing good works. Only in Jesus Christ can you find rest for your souls. the only faith, the only worldview, the only philosophy that makes sense of our crazy world is Christianity. The only faith that makes sense is following Christ. Our souls are clamoring, but Christ gives rest. Why follow the good path of the Bible? Well, because it is the very Word of God. When Jesus Christ walked this earth and He was asked various questions, people were trying to ask Him questions to learn or to trip Him up, and He always went back to the Bible. Have you not read? Doth not the Scripture say? Back to the Bible. The Bible tells us the Word of God is divinely inspired by God. It's not just a book written by man, it's the Word of God. Listen, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Baptist. Our church is an independent Baptist church. We're an independent fundamental Baptist church. Why are we Baptist? Because we believe Baptist doctrine is synonymous with New Testament Christianity. We go back to the Bible. We don't go to traditions of men. We don't go to traditions of hierarchies of churches that have corrupted the Bible. We go back to New Testament Christianity. Why are we fundamental Baptists? Because we believe the core fundamentals of the faith, and we don't compromise. We cannot compromise on our Bible convictions. And thus we separate from those who have compromised in their fundamental convictions. We are independent fundamental Baptists because we do not have any headquarters outside of heaven. Our headquarters is in heaven. Hey, listen, the shepherd of this church is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just the under shepherd. And so we are independent fundamental Baptists. That's who we are as a church. We hold to the core essentials of the faith, and we will not compromise in our convictions. Jeremiah said, ask for the old path, for the good way. Then he also says, walk therein. That's my last point this morning, walk. Not just enough to know about it. He said, go ahead and walk in that way, walk down that path. He assures them that if they do walk down this path, they will secure the welfare and satisfaction of their own souls. There may be pains along the way. There may be hardships, but the end brings a great reward. Amen. Listen, it's not always easy to stick to our convictions. Sometimes we have to separate from good people. Good people who have good intentions, are sincere. But our aim is to please God, not men. Our aim is to please our Savior. And so thus, we need to stick to the old paths. This church was a church established by soul winning and aggressive evangelism. And by God's grace, we're going to keep it that way. Amen. Hey, we have to have a burden to win our community. Who's going to win this community? I see Jehovah's Witnesses out all the time. Are they going to win this community to Christ? Who's going to go and share the gospel to their neighbors? People they walk down the street, kids they see playing in the backyard all the time. Who's going to win those people? I submit to you, the Lord has placed us right here for such a time as this. It's our job. It's our privilege to be able to win them. And so by God's grace, this is a soul-winning church where we believe in evangelism. Churches today have said, well, you know, we can't do soul-winning. We can't do every week going out. We can't do that. We're going to just do lifestyle evangelism. And so they've replaced their regular obedience to God's great commission with whenever you feel like talking to people, talk to them. Whenever you don't. Listen, I'm all for lifestyle evangelism. Also, I'm also for aggressive evangelism where you have to just talk to people. You have to go out there and meet people. You can't just sit back and say, well, they're just going to come to me as I live the Christian life. It's not always going to be that way. We need to go and bring them. The message of the gospel is to go. Jesus didn't say sit and wait. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Get off of your seats and go. But people today no longer want to go. We're going to continue walking down old-fashioned gospel preaching. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And only Jesus Christ makes a difference. We're going to keep believing that we need to live holy and separated lives. Today, that's a lost doctrine, holiness, separation. You see, holiness is not just so that we look good. Holiness is about separating from sin unto God. You know, when I was a young person, the Lord really, really made that thought so clear to me, and it really helped me that separation from sin, holiness is not just avoid doing bad things, it's embracing the best thing. Amen? It's separating from the things of this world, which are just cheap knockoffs anyway, and embracing the best thing there is. Only God can give you eternal joy, peace that passes all understanding. Only God can give you rest for your souls. So by God's grace, let's walk down the old pathways. By God's grace, let's keep our church spotless from sin and the world. This is definitely a unique time for our church, for all of us. You could say we're in uncharted waters. However, I believe we have the same map for the roadway that we've always had. Hey, our church is Bible Baptist Church. Amen. We're going to go by the Bible. We're going to be as narrow as the Bible and as broad as the Bible. That's it. And we don't care what the worldly crowd says. We don't care what the scholarly crowd, what the pop crowd, they mock and scoff. We're going to go by what God's word tells us. The history of Christianity, sadly, is filled with churches and institutions that have strayed from the path. There were Bible colleges all across our country that were once bastions of the gospel and of the faith, and now they deny the true faith. Schools like Yale, Princeton, Harvard are now totally liberal and deny the true faith. Churches that once stood on the Bible have now turned into politically correct social gatherings, concerned with not offending people. Listen, our methods may grow and adjust, but our message never changes. Our principles never change. And men's hearts are what they've always been for the last 6,000 years. And they need the same remedy that God's always provided, rest for their souls, can only be found in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me for our church, for the families of our church, that we stick to the old paths, that we stick to the good way, and that we walk therein. Sadly, Jeremiah ends the verse, but the people say we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein. Let's pray together.